This is my favorite time during my workday, and it's not because it's lunchtime. On sunny days like today, I get to sit outside, fully immersing myself in the world around me. The First National Bank, established in 1884, is one of the oldest landmarks still standing in the downtown core. So much history has been wiped away to make room for the eternal search for growth and progress in this city. Traffic flows all around below the secluded lunch area, and from my table on the rooftop of the bank, 10 city blocks are visible. It's a shame they stopped putting money into this eating area. The tables are rusted and falling apart. It doesn't matter to me, though. Almost everyone else eats inside now, and I enjoy the solitude. I've asked for my lunch hour to start at 11:45 every morning so I can get outside in time for this moment. The second before the minute changes over, I feel the slightest shift. Maybe it's my expectations building to their inevitable crescendo. People really don't stop to smell the roses anymore. The bustle from the street blends together as it rises to greet me on the rooftop, then fades as its journey carries it farther up toward the clouds. The first toll of the bell cuts through the din, reverberating around the concrete buildings. It sounds like a little symphony played just for me. Taking a bite out of my sandwich, I listen as each ring echoes. I always lose count around 6 or 7. Or was it 8 already? As the last bell chimes, the city stills in anticipation, as if waiting for one more. But that bell won't ring again. The sound of traffic bursts back to life as music makes its way up to my ears from the street below, signaling lunchtime, as I imagine a combination of buskers and restaurants opening for their noon hour rush. "Hey, how was your morning? Is everything ready to go?" Thomas makes his way over to the table, taking up the spot right across from me. He started in security at the same time I started with the bank. "Good afternoon, Thomas. It was good. Everything is in place and the new vault is almost ready for business," I answer, taking another bite of my sandwich.
"That's great. It still baffles me why they built that vault so far underground. Maybe that will give you something to write about. How's your book coming along?" he asks.
"It's going well. I'm at a tough part, though. I know I need to do something to move it along, but I've become attached to my secondary characters." I tap my pen on my notepad. Nodding in agreement, Thomas offers,
"I guess sometimes you need to do the hard things to stay true to the outcome."
He watches me carefully, and I know in my heart he couldn't be more correct.
"Where are you at? Maybe I can help."
I finish the last bite of my sandwich and collect my garbage as I begin. "This is what I've got so far. Imagine if we lived on a planet that had the means to communicate in peace with other planets and systems. Living in such an advanced civilization, technology is almost a thing of the past. And we receive verified and indisputable data telling us our world will be threatened by an outside factor that will obliterate not only our planet, but others in a chain reaction for centuries to come. We also learn that the catalyst setting everything in motion hasn't happened yet, and we have both the resources and a small window of time to change the outcome and save our families, our lives, and entire worlds. But it's practically a suicide mission, and it means the destruction of one isolated planet in a system that is otherwise uninhabited, and that action will end the chain of events right there. What would you do?"